This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Hamabayim. Welcome everybody. Parshas Kisavoy, the Yeshurim of Tavshin Pevav, are sponsored by the Israeli family of Great Neck, Lilei Nishmas, Malka Bas Yosef, B'Gan Eden Temenu Chasa, Shishabi Melitza Yishar for our family, Ad Bias Gal Tzedek. Also dedicated as a Zechus Refor Shleima for Nasan Ben Menucha, B'Soch Shar Chal Yisrael. Sefer Dvarim is dedicated by Dr. Zakaim U'Mishpachta, Lilei Nishmas, Rav Shmuel Eliezer Ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakaim, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, and Rab David Ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Rab Eli Sizma, Lilei Nishmas, his grandmother was Nifter this past Sunday, Henya Rachel Bas Eliezer, Alea Shalom, Gan Eden Teim Nuchasa, Shishabi Melitza Yishar for her whole family, Ad Bias Gal Tzedek. And there's a special announcement, special shout out to a long time listener, Yaakov Selmar, who I see him, as a happy birthday. Shem should give him Arichas Yamim Mishanim. Okay, let's see what we got over here. Make sure you are well equipped for Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with The Mystery and the Majesty, available in multiple languages. Now, the Sefer Berachos HaTzadik, there's some people out there, they love getting things for free. Well, tonight is your night. You can now get the Sefer for free. All you need to do is learn it. Contact Sefer at marbitzetorah.com and they will send you a free copy of the Sefer. Sefer at marbitzetorah.com to get a free copy of the Sefer. I got a message today about from my friend. He said, I have to admit, you know, I like your shiurim, but when you start talking about the phones, I start rolling my eyes. Especially when you say, even if the phone is off, it's distracting. Come on. And then I decided to give it a shot. And I didn't bring my phone in the shul. And he said, Rabbi Gladstein, the difference between my tefillah, he had it off. Between having it off and not bringing it in is incomparable. The level of concentration is completely different. So I'm happy he was honest with me that he rolled his eyes. And I will continue to mention it, even if you roll your eyes, until you stop bringing the phone in. Don't put it away. Don't turn it off. Do not bring it into the shul. There's a story going around. I don't know. I'll have to get the exact details before I mention it. I mentioned last time when I visited Yisrael in the north by the Druze, they make sure to remove your phone from your pocket before you enter. If you turn it off and you walk in, that's, you know, you're not going to have your phone anymore. Okay, but I have another good story, but not for now. Okay, Parshas Kisavai. I'll tell you, I had a question that's been brewing for many years, and the reason I didn't ask it, who knows why I didn't ask it? Because you never ask a question you don't have an answer to. Okay, my question is like this. There's a word in the Hebrew language, in Avodas Hashem, it's a very important word. It's a very powerful word. The word is Amen. Amen stands for many important things. Keil Melech Ne'eman. We'll see it has a numerical value of 91, which is the two names of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And lo and behold, the only time it appears in the Torah is by these really bad places. The only time you'll see the word Amen in the Chumash is by like the most terrible places. For example, in this week's Parsha, we have something unheard of in the whole Chumash. We have something called not mitzvos asei, curses. So it says, cursed is someone who badmouths his friend in secret. Cursed is someone who lives with an animal. Arr. Oh, and what do people say? Amen, 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 amen. 11 amens. Every single amen is to a curse. Wow, what a great distinction the amen has, that it appears 11 times in response to amen. It doesn't say what they said to the baruch, but to the arur we have amen. Arur ha'isha shayasa fesel umaseicha toyav as Hashem va'anu kalam va'amru amen. Isn't that a bit odd? that Amen only appears in the context of Arurim, curses. By the way, you know where else it appears? In Parshas Nasai, when the woman who's suspected of adultery drinks the Soita waters and it starts blowing up her stomach and causing her legs to cave in. The Amra Ha'isha, Amen, Amen. Well, the woman responds, Amen, Amen. So that pasuk is so disastrous, it gets two Amens. Can't maybe you have an Amen by Berchas Kayanim? You know, V'rachcha Hashem v'yishmeracha, Yar Hashem panav eilecha v'yichonecha. You know, Amen, or Amen, Amen. No Amen to the Berchas Kayanim. Nothing to the Berchas Yaakov. You know, at the end of Vayechi, why don't we have V'anu Yehuda V'amar Amen? You know, Yaakov says, A Yehuda ato yeducha achecha, or Lishuascha kivisi Hashem V'ana don Amen. No Amens over there. No Amens by any good places. Only by utter disaster, only by, you know, catastrophe, do we have the word Amen. Okay, I've been thinking about that for a while, and I didn't come up with anything. Until today, I guess I was stuck, you know? So let's begin with a story. In most books, they'll tell you this story appears in the writings of the Levush, which it doesn't. Okay, it does not appear in the writings of the Levush. It's a story about the Levush, but as far as I know, it's not in the Sefer of the Levush. It's in a Sefer called Sefer Hagan. And in Sefer Hagan, he talks about the following tradition, that every Jew should try to be a tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is four things. Tzadi, Dalid, Yud, Kuf. Tzadi is 90. You want to answer Amen 90 times a day. Dalid, you want to say Kedusha 4 times a day. That's Kedusha in Yotzer Ar, Kedusha in Shemana Esrei, Kedusha Valetzion, Kedusha in Mincha. You want to say Kedusha 4 times a day. Yud, you want to hear Kaddish 10 times a day between Shachris, Mincha, and Marav. Kuf, 100 brachais. 100 brachais. Now, we'll discuss how are you going to get 90 amens. That's a lot of amens. That's, you know, how are you going to do that? You have 19 for Chazas Hashatz by Shachris, 19 by Mincha. Okay. Berchas Hashachar. Now, okay, that's 15. So you're up to 55. Now what? Baruch Sha'amar Yishtabach, 57. Yoytzer Ar, Ahava Rabba, Gal Yisrael, 60. Mariv, I don't know, 64. You're still short.
Kaddish 10 times.
Yeah, I guess in Kaddish. But if you're holding in a different part of davening and you're not, you know, for Chazar Sashatz, how exactly are you going to get 90 times? Okay, you could try. You know, there's a question. In some shuls, people gather together and they go back and forth with the Berachas Hashachar. You know, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim who says not to do it. It creates too much stir in the shul. Too much confusion. So you say, I know, but phones create even more confusion. Right, so that's why you're not allowed to bring a phone into a shul. You're not, it doesn't matter if it's a Young Israel, an Aguda, or to any house of worship, you want to honor the place. Did I ever mention that? Okay. And so the story goes like this. The story is reported in the Sefer Hagan. The Gemara says in Brachos, greater is he who answers Amen more than the Mevarech. That someone who makes the Bracha is secondary to someone who answers Amen. Why? Because when you make the Bracha, you only say Aleph, Dal, and Nun, Yod, and you think Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you're not really getting both names of Hashem. You're pronouncing it Adoy and then Noi, but you're thinking the Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it's spelled. But when you answer Amen, Amen is numerically valued at 91. 91 is Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Now it's interesting, he brings an amazing remez. What does the Chazin do if he can answer Amen? Did you know the Mishnah Berurah says, in some Kuf Samach Zayin, that the Chazan should wait for the people to answer Amen and be Yotze Amen with the people. That the Chazan is Yotze Amen with Shomei HaKoina. And the Bir Halacha wonders, the Rama writes that, you know, where did the Rama get that from? That the Chazan needs to be Yotze the Amen? But that's what the Rama writes. Yeah. Actually, right, you can't say Amen, so you're stuck. But you would think, I don't need your Amen. Your Amen is only confirming what I said. So, no, but it turns out your confirmation is stronger than what I did, because I only did it and you confirmed it. So there's a concept that the Mevarech wants to be Yoytze the Amen with the one who's Oina Amen. Now, the word Chazan is numerically valued at Ches Zayin Nun 65, Aleph Dalet Nun Yod. If you take the letters Chazan and you spell it out, Ches Yud Taf, Zayin is Zayin Yud Nun, Nun is Nun Vav Nun. You ready for this? Spell out the word Chazan. Ches is spelled Ches Yud Taf, the middle letter is Yud. Zayin is Zayin Yud Nun, the middle letter is Yud. And Nun is Nun Vav Nun, the middle letter is Vav. Yud Yud Vav is the Shem Havaya. So Chazan is 65, and the middle secret letters is the Shem Havaya. So he's getting, really, I don't know what's going on here, he's getting the Shem Havaya through his secret service. Okay. By the way, the final letters of the letters of Chazan, Ches is Tav, Zayin is Nun. Nun is Nun is 600. So there's 600 levels of the Rakia, and the Chazan needs to get his tefillah through all the levels of the Rakia. And the power of Amen is a Jew should even risk his life to be able to answer Amen. Amen stands for Ani Moiser Nafshi. I give up my life. Now that doesn't mean literally, because it's not one of the three cardinal things, but still, to some degree, one should sacrifice to be able to answer Amen. And the Sefer that now reveals a epic story, okay? So fasten your seatbelts for this epic story. The story happened in the times of Rav Mordechai Yaffa, the author of the Levush. And this the writer, the author of this particular Sefer, said his father-in-law told him the story because the author's wife is the great-great-granddaughter of the Levush. Okay? Levush was Rav Mordechai Yaffa, and before he became one of the world-renowned Poskim and Rabbanim, he took a small position. He was offered a small position in Poznan. So they offer him the position, and he says, look, I'm very honored to be offered this position. At the time, he was the greatest scholar in the Jewish world, both Benigla Uvenistar. He says, but I have to tell you something. There's one area of Torah I really don't know well. I don't know astronomy. I don't know Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. There's no one here in Poland and in Europe that really, in Eastern Europe, that's proficient in these halachas. I'm not comfortable taking the job until I study and master these halachas. The only way I could learn it is I have to go to Italy, because there, the Talmid Chacham in Italy know astronomy. So I'm going to go to Italy for 3 months. I'm going to learn Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, and I'll be right back. And he goes to learn to Venice, to Rabbi Yitzchak Abuhav in Venezia, who was very proficient in astronomy. And if you look in the Levush Adar and Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, you'll see the greatness of the Levush even in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, so the Levush is there, Mordechai Yaffa is there, and the Levush of course establishes himself as one of the greatest Talmidim of Rabbi Yitzchak Abuhav. And one day, sitting next to the Rebbe is the Rebbe's 5-year-old son, and he has an apple. And he makes a bracha on the apple, Baruch Ata Hashem L'Hinu Machalam, Boirei Peri Ha'etz. And Rav Mordechai Yaffa is lost in thought. He's, you know, immersed in his learning. And he didn't answer, Amen. Whereupon, Rav Yitzchak Abuhav completely lambasts Rav Mordechai Yaffa, his student. He said, "A chutzpah noira? You're here learning Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh and you don't even answer Amen?" He yelled at him. He scorned him. He says, "You're in Cherem. No one's allowed to talk to you. No one's allowed to go in your Dalet Amos. You're not allowed to get an Aliyah. Nobody could be in your vicinity." And he publicly humiliated Reb Mordechai Yaffe. After 30 days, for the course of 30 days, Reb Mordechai Yaffe is praying to Hashem, "Hashem, please forgive me, but I don't even know what, for what." At the end of the 30 days, he goes to the Rebbe. He says, "You know, please forgive me. Chatasi, avisi, pashati. And maybe kindly tell me what I did wrong." The Rebbe doesn't even want to talk to him. He pleads, he cajoles, he supplicates, he beseeches. And finally, the Rebbe says, "Mutterlach, mutterlach, mutterlach. You know how much I love you. I love you more than a son. But you should know, you when you didn't answer Amen to this bracha, you were chayiv misa. And I had no choice but to save your life by humiliating you, so you should get a degree of kapara so that they wouldn't take your life min hashamayim. But I'm forgive you on condition that wherever you go for the rest of your rabbinic career, you need to make it known and disseminate the story that the severity and the gravity of not answering Amen, that it could jeopardize a person's whole life. And tell your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, until the end of time, they need to publicly speak about this." And the author of this sefer, because he married the great-great-granddaughter of the Lavush, his father-in-law told him, "Listen to me, you better tell the story." Even though the rule is, never give advice to your son-in-law. The only thing you could give your son-in-law is money and kavod. Okay? That's from Avigdor Miller. Never give advice. That's coming from some, you know, we just made our first shidduch, so it's not relevant. Well, I'll let you know if how I'm able to handle that one. Okay. But Rabbi Yitzchak Abuv didn't finish. The story didn't end there. He says, "Let me tell you, Reb Mordechai Yaffe, a story that took place before the Spanish Inquisition. There was once a king in one of the provinces of Spain who wanted to banish all of the Jewish residents of the area. But there was one particular righteous Jew who always curried favor with the king. And every time the king was about to banish his Jewish residents, they would call this pious Jew and he would come to the king and plead with the king. And the king would always renege and allow his Jews to remain in his kingdom. One particular time, the king said, enough is enough. He was going to banish the Jewish residents. So the people of the city, they come to this chassid, and the chassid comes to the king, and he starts talking to the king, and the king is so happy to see him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him. And at first, this chassid didn't want to go, because he said, "You know, it's late in the day, I didn't daven mincha." So they said, "Mincha shmincha, you know, our lives are in jeopardy. This is also a mitzvah. You'll daven mincha later. You'll catch a later minyan in Hachayim Vashalom or something. You know, you need to save our lives." So the guy goes, and as he's speaking to the king, a priest strikes up a conversation with the king, and the priest starts praising the king, and he starts reciting a whole Latin benediction for the king, and this chassid doesn't even know what he's talking about, so he says, "This is my opportunity." He slips off in the corner to daven mincha, and he's praying, he's swaying, he has no idea what the priest is talking about, what the gibberish coming out of the priest's mouth, and the priest is saying this whole Latin benediction, and the priest finishes, and he says, "And now everyone respond, Amen." And everyone answers, "Amen," to the blessing of the priest. And then he goes around, "Did everyone answer Amen? I want to make sure everyone confirms the blessing I'm placing on the head of the king." And he then turns, you know, "Did you answer Amen? Did you answer Amen? Did you answer Amen? Did everyone, did that dirty Jew answer Amen?" And he's off there praying in the corner. He has no idea what the priest was talking about. And they said, "No, the Jew didn't answer Amen. The Jew didn't answer Amen," and the priest starts ripping his hair out and screaming and carrying on. "This Jew destroyed my blessing. You see, my blessing was about to devolve upon the king. It was about to be chal on the king. And because he didn't answer Amen, now the blessing is vanished into thin air. And the priest is carrying on like a lunatic. And now the king is going out of his mind." And the king says, "Servants, off with his head." And they take out their swords and they slice him and they dice him and they wrap him up in his robe and they send him back to his wife, a dead man. The righteous Jew was killed in the palace of the king. This righteous Jew had a chavrusa, and the chavrusa was oisman, she was beside himself. How this righteous Jew who made an attempt to save the community, he just slipped away to daven mincha, why would he have such a terrible punishment? So he davened and he davened and he davened. He had complaints against the Almighty. Why did this happen to his friend? And one day he had a dream, and it was his friend. And his friend said, please, you should not have any complaints against Hashem. Let me tell you what happened. I'll tell you the story. I really never committed any sin. I'm a perfectly, completely righteous man. But what happened was, one time, a child in my house made a bracha on Hamoitzi, and I didn't answer Amen. But God was patient with me until that fateful day when I was in the palace of the king, and I didn't respond Amen to the blessing of the king. That's when Hashem collected his debt, and that's why I was sliced and diced. I'm telling you this, please let everybody know this. Whereupon Rabbi Yitzchak Abuav turns to Rabbi Mordechai Yaffa and he says, I'm moichel you, but because you didn't answer Amen to the blessing of my son, I want you to know it is your responsibility now for the rest of your life to disseminate the gravity, the severity of not responding Amen to the bracha. And then the Levush writes that he accepted upon himself the task of being a preacher among the Jewish people, and wherever he goes, wherever he travels, he speaks about the importance of Amen. Especially, there are two Amens that people routinely do not answer. One is Bar Ata Adoy Shehem HaMachazir Zinasay Letziyayin Moidim Anachnu Lach, and nobody answers Amen. They just say Moidim Anachnu Lach, and they don't say Amen. Tamachzer Shchina Soy Letzion. It happens every day. Baruch Atah Hashem Hamachzer Shchina Soy Letzion. Moidim Anach. What happened? It's Amen. Moidim Anach Nulach. The other time people routinely do not say Amen is Ha Poirehei Sukah Shalom Aleinu V'al Kol Amo Yisrael V'al Yerushalayim v'shamru v'nei Yisrael es Hashem v'shamru. Amen v'shamru. In fact, the Bali Musar say, the reason why Mashiach has not come is because we don't say Amen to the redemption of the Jewish people. Number one, Hamachzir Shchinasay L'tzion. And number two, if we would only confirm that Hashem's bringing the Gula would come. But for 2,000 years, we don't want to confirm it. So Hashem says, you're not going to confirm it. I'm not going to confirm it either. That the reason Mashiach has not come is because people don't answer Amen to these two brachas. And therefore the Levush accepted upon himself to disseminate the importance of answering Amen, even to the bracha of a child. Now, as you know, you can't paskin halacha from stories. You know about this. A story is not a source of halacha. I don't care who said the story or where the story is. So the first thing you have to know is, answer Amen to a bracha of a child? Do you need to answer bracha to Amen to bracha of a child? Are you allowed to answer Amen to bracha of a child? The Shulchan Aruch says, when a child makes a bracha, since they're b'nei chinuch, you could answer Amen. What does that imply? They could answer Amen if they're b'nei chinuch. And what if they're less than chinuch? What is the age of chinuch, by the way? Six or seven, right? The kid in the story was 5 years old. So maybe, you know, back in the day, they were very smart. They were advanced. The Shulchan Aruch seems to hold you cannot answer Amen to a bracha of a child. who's less than the age of chinuch. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says, Mashma, look at number six, the al bracha shemavarich al achilo kaigavna koidim shigia lechinuch ein lanois amen olav. You're not allowed to answer amen. Actually, the stipler in the Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu, he brings that in the house of the stipler, they would start making brachos hananin even before the kid could completely speak. At age 1.5, the stipler would give candies to his children. He would say, make a bracha, and he would answer amen. So the author of this, the one who recorded the Minhagim of the stipler, says, wait a second, that's not like the Mishnah Berurah. Why would the stipler teach them to answer amen? Why would he train them even to make brachos? Some would argue, maybe you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to, if you're going to train a child to make a bracha before their age of chinuch, you're training them to make a bracha without any thought. So the author of the Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu said he asked his brother-in-law, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that really it's not the halacha, it's a custom. The same way you tell a kid who's 1.5, that's your aunt and that's your uncle. So you say, that's God, thank him, whether the kid understands or not. And you answer amen, it's a practice, it's not the halacha. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman that he personally does not answer, he goes, amen, amen. And because the halacha is, you're not allowed to answer amen. So according to that, I guess the kid in the story wasn't 5, maybe he was 7 or 8, or maybe the kid was the age of chinuch. And Rav Chaim Knievsky also says, something interesting here. He says that you could train a child to answer amen after a bracha. But for you yourself, if you take a look at number 8, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and the Halicha Shlomo says that you could train a child to answer amen, but you should not answer amen to the bracha of a child that has not reached the age of chinuch. But the reason you should teach them to answer amen, a very amazing halacha, the Rama writes in Siman Kuf Chav Daled. By the way, in the same sif that the Shulchan Aruch says, that if somebody speaks by Chazar Shashatz, Gadol Avoinoi Minasai. By the way, this is very important to know. If you see somebody speak by Chazar Shashatz, that's the equivalent of, in halacha, in severity, the same terminology the Shulchan Aruch uses by Sona speaks by Chazar Shashatz is a terminology the Pasuk uses by murder. So, sometimes you see, the guy, he's shooting the breeze. He's a great guy. He's such a great guy, He's so friendly. No, that's not how the halacha views it. The halacha says, Gadol Avoina, the sin is too great to bear. That's the terminology that Hashem said about Cain killing Hevel. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says about somebody who speaks by Chazar Shashatz. Then the Rama says, but you should make sure to train your children to answer amen, because as soon as a kid answers amen, from the time they're 1 or 2 years old, they have a share in the world to come. So that's the contrast. If you speak by Chazar Shashatz and you disturb the answering of Main, it's like murder. But so that it's like taking life. Listen to the contrast. If you speak by Chazar Shashatz, it's like you're killing someone. By the way, that's a bad thing to do. You know that? Mm-hmm. Taking someone's life is not, we don't condone that. We don't support murder. Judaism likes to preserve life. So speaking by Chazar Shashatz is like killing, and that's one extreme. But if you teach your kid to answer amen, you're giving them eternal life. That's what one thing has to do with the other. In other words, why is the Rama commenting that you should train your child to answer amen and you'll get Olam Haba? Because the Shulchan Aruch is saying disturbing during Chazar Shashatz is like taking a life, but the converse has to be true also. If somebody has respectful behavior during Chazar Shashatz, you're literally giving your child eternal life.
By Shacharis and Arim, 2 brachas before Kriyat Shema, do you answer Rami?
by.
Do you answer on me?
Me personally, I don't. Okay. No. So what we do is, you finish. There are two. There are two.
Why don't we answer?
Because some say that that bracha is like a bracha on Kriya Shema, so you don't want to interrupt between the bracha of Am Yisrael and Kriya Shema. So you end off together with the chazan. Some of the Rama says you could answer Amen, and what I do is I say with the chazan Baruch Ata Hashem Oyev Am Yisrael. Actually, it's not what I do. You want to know what I really do? I'm always ahead. I'm already in the second parasha of Shema when they say Shema. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to start Shemana Esrei with the Tzibor. So that's what I usually do.
So in the middle of
Krishma,
you're not going to answer
Amen. No, I don't answer Amen. In the middle of
Krishma, between the two parashas,
no, I'll answer Amen Yishmei Rabbah or Barchu, but not Amen. No. Now, the word Amen, which we mentioned earlier, his gematria of 91. In the Sefer Kaf HaYashar, he brings that whenever a person does a mitzvah, you create angels. And every time you do a mitzvah, you create a host of angels. These angels are called the machane of the mitzvah. Now, it's obvious, any mitzvah you make a bracha on, the angels who you created, let's say you put on tefillin. When you put on tefillin, you create tefillin malachim. So you're surrounded by tefillin malachim. When you say the bracha, l'haniach tefillin, the tefillin malachim answer amen to your bracha. So you should have in mind, and by the way, the remez is, malach is gematria amen. Amen is 91, malach, angel, is 91. So when you say a bracha and you answer amen, you should think the angels you created are answering amen with you. Okay? So just bear in mind, Amen is gematria malach. When you answer Amen, you create an angel. Do you remember the story of Esther? So Esther didn't have a father, didn't have a mother, and the pasuk says, who raised her? Vayehi oimein es hadasah. He Esther bas doidoi. The word oimein should be spelled aleph, vav, mem, nun. He raised her. Oimein, he raised her. It's spelled Aleph Mem Nun. Says the Yalkut Me'am Loyes. Why is it spelled Aleph Mem Nun? What does it mean he raised her? What did he raise her to do? How did Mordechai raise Esther? What was the chinuch of Mordechai to Esther? Says the Yalkut Me'am Loyes. Mordechai trained Esther from the time she was young. Vayehi Amen. He trained her to answer Amen. Why? Because she's an orphan girl. The least he could do is he has to make sure she gets to the world to come. So the least he could do is get her there by teaching her to answer Amen. But let's take this a little bit further. Because Mordechai had wind that Esther, if she's going to be, she may be taken one day. In fact, when she was taken to Ahasuerus, he knew that this could cause the redemption of the Jewish people, even though he was trying to get her out of there. Mordechai knew from the beginning something was up with this girl. And he's grooming her and he's protecting her. This lady, this girl needs a lot of protection. Ahasuerus needs a queen. She's a young girl. She's a beautiful girl. She could be taken at any time. She needs a lot of angels. She needs a lot of angels to protect her from that behemoth. So if there's any mitzvah that could garner for Esther a whole host of malachim that are going to be guarding her and protecting her, that would be the zechus of answering Amen. So the pasuk says, Vayihi oimein es hadasa. He trained her to answer Amen because he knew the girl needs shmira elyoina. So of all the zechus Mordechai trained Esther to acquire, it's Vayihi oimein es hadasa. And that may be what ultimately protected her and guarded her and protected her from somebody from maybe committing an act of infidelity to Mordechai, because Mordechai is married to her. But Esther karka oilam haya. She never went willingly until Mordechai told her to. So what protected Esther physically, spiritually, emotionally? Vayehi amen. The amen that Mordechai trained her to answer b'kavana, that always protected her. By the way, okay, now this is important. We're going to try to keep it simple, okay? There are two kinds of brachos that you could answer amen to. You could answer amen to a bracha of praise, or you could answer amen to a bracha of request. What should you think when you answer amen? When you answer amen, you should think it is true. Amen means it's you're authenticating the bracha. So if you hear, Baruch Atah Hashem Poikeach Evrim, blessed are you Hashem, you give sight to the blind. When you answer amen, you should think it is true. Hashem is the source of blessing who gives sight to the blind. Now, I know it's a mouthful, right? The best kavanah to have is to think it is true that Hashem is the source of blessing, that He does that thing. Hashem clothes the unclothed, that Hashem straightens the bent. When you hear Baruch Atah Hashem Matir Asum, you should think, I confirm Hashem is the source of blessing who releases the bound. If that's too much, at the very least, it's true. What he said, yeah. Good, yes, yes. It's true. MS actually. And not MS. MS. It's true. At the very least, you should think it's true. But sometimes the blessing is not just a praise, it's a request. So it's Baruch Atah Hashem, Roifei Chayle Amo Yisrael. So that's a praise and a request. First, so you should think, it's true Hashem is the source of blessing who heals the sick, and I pray Hashem should be the source of blessing and heal the sick. Now that's really a mouthful, right? Because, or the simple way to do it is, it's true and halavai it should be. So MS v'halavai. True, may it be. True, may, so in other words, when you answer amen to the first three blessings of Shemana Esa, you should think, it's true, Hashem is Magen Abraham. It's true, Hashem resurrects the dead. It's true, Hashem is the God of holiness. And then when you get up to the Bakashos, then you should think, it's true, Hashem grants Das, may He do so. It's true, Hashem helps us do Tshuva, may He do so. So you say, wow, that takes a lot of focus. So you're telling me that I shouldn't be learning during Chazar Sashatz? No, I'm not telling you. The Halacha says it. The Mishnah Berurah says it. Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to learn during Chazar Sashatz. Reb Chaim Knievsky says it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. If you do, let's say you're Mavr Sedra, you'll have to do it again. If you made you learned the Masechta and you want to make a Siyam during the 9 days, no, don't make a Siyam. What do you do? I'm invited to a Siyam of a guy who learned the whole thing during Chazar Sashatz. If you have that, okay, ask me. I've been there many times. It's a big Chazar Sashatz. The Arizal says Chazar Sashatz is more important than the silent Shemana Esrei. You're confirming your belief and you're praying. It's a very powerful time. Okay. So now we see that Amen offers like supernatural shmira, especially for Esther. She kept faithful to Mordechai through Amen. She was never unfaithful to Mordechai. It's interesting. Where does Amen appear in the Chumash? In the subject of Soita. Where else? In the context of the Klalais. Okay, we'll come to that. You'll see where we're headed. I'll tell you one story that appears in the Sefer Noitrei Amen. It also appears in, there's an English book called Just One Word. But I found it originally in the Sefer Noitrei Amen. I think I also saw it in Yitzchak Zilberstein's Sefer Emunah Shleima. There was a doctor who made Aliyah and became a Baal Tshuva. So he was asked, you know, what exactly inspired you to become religious? He said, I'll tell you the story. I was dealing with a patient who had a terminal illness, and the patient had to make a decision. Either his days were really numbered, or he could undergo in a very expensive, invasive, painful surgery that at the most would give him a few extra months. And the patient didn't even know what to say. You know, the doctor said, your days are numbered. The surgery will prolong your life only minimally, but it's extremely invasive, extremely painful, and extremely expensive. So the patient had learned by Rav Moshe Feinstein 20 years earlier. He said he wants to ask Rav Moshe. The doctor said, okay, you know, let me see for myself what this rabbi will say. So the man tells Rav Moshe the Shaila. Rav Moshe wept for 20 minutes, empathizing with his student. And then Rav Moshe says, give me a day to think about it. And the next day, Rav Moshe said, you should have the surgery. We're going to pray for your recovery. In the next couple of months, if you prolong your life, you know how many amens you can answer? You know how many angels you're going to create? You'll have so much spiritual protection. Who knows? You might have arichas yamim v'shanim. And he did. And this was so inspiring to the doctor became religious. As reported in the Sefer, Noitre Amen. So you see from here that Amen has a certain power to of salvation, even from very disastrous and difficult situations. It protected Esther when she was taken captive, that she remained pure in purity. She never went willingly to Achashverosh. It protected her from becoming a soita. You see from the story of Moshe, the Amen could literally has life-saving power. Is it possible that this powerful word, Amen, the Torah reserves for these disastrous and catastrophic locations to show that how powerful it is? That specifically in the context of the Soita, here it's written in the Torah HaKadosha, a Jewish woman is going to be brought to this situation where her husband suspects her of infidelity. This is going to happen to a Jewish woman when it has to be written in the Torah. So the Torah needs to offer protection for the Jewish people that we should never come to such a thing. So the one pasuk in the Chumash that says Amen twice is the pasuk of the Soita. Amen, Amen. It's protection. And in the context of these klalois, the Rosh Hashem says, I have to have klalois in the Torah against Klal Yisrael. We need some security. We need some shmira. So whenever there's a klal, Hashem says, don't worry, I got this covered. Don't worry, you'll be protected. What's the protection? Protection is, look where the word Amen appears. Wherever, when we need it most. It appears when it's most needed. In the 11 klalos in the Torah, when it says Baruch, we're not reliant on the Amen. Here's where we really need it. There's a tradition that Rav Shalom Shvadron would say from the great Mashgiach, Rav Simcha Zisel of Kelm, that one night, Shavuos night, Rav Simcha Zisel was trying to impress on his students the power of Limud HaTorah. He says, the whole world, from the beginning of time until now, it was worthwhile for God to create all of the galaxies and all the universes, and the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets and all the animals, and so that there should be one Jew who'll answer one time in his whole life, Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemai. If that's the only thing that happened in, you know, 6,000 years, it was a successful project. But says Rav Simcha Zisel, as great as Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai is, one Amen is greater than 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai. But he continued. He said, as great as Amen is, one Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba is equal to 1,000 Amens. And as great as 1,000 Amens are, one word of Torah is equal to 1,000 Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbas. Today was the yahrzeit of the Ben Ish Chai. Yeah? Yud Gimel Elo. The Ben Ish Chai in in what is called Shana Rishayna, Parshas Vayeshev, he says it's a good minhag, like we started, a tzaddik is someone who says Amen 90 times, four kedushas, 10 kaddish, and 100 brachais. It's a good practice to say every day, 45 times, Baruch Adonai le'olam, Amen ve'amen. Baruch Adonai le'olam, Amen ve'amen. Baruch Adonai le'olam, Amen ve'amen. Because that pasuk has two amens in it. So if you say it 45 times, you got your 90. This way, for whatever reason, you can't make it, you know, you have an oinus, you have extenuating circumstances, you're not going to hear chazor sashatz, you're down in the count, you say that 45 times. Now the truth is, even if you don't say it 45 times, if you say it 10, 15 times, it usually will put you over the edge, you know? And he says something very interesting. He says, I myself do it, and I do it every day. After Berachas HaTorah, I say, Yivarech HaShem Yishmerecha, Yar HaShem Panam Melech V'Nach, Yisrael HaShem Panam Melech V'Zom Shalom, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen. Now, he says, why do I do it then? Because anytime you want to do something, if you say, yeah, I'll do it today, most of the time you'll never do it. But if you have a set time to do it, then you just do it habitually. I like that line very much, because it's very true. You know, there are a lot of things you want to do and you never get around to it. But if you sort of like have a say there, you know, I do this right after Shacharis, I do A, B, C. So then it's not even a test anymore. It's just, that's your routine. Anything you could make routine, you have a much better shot of actually doing it than it just wanting to do something. You don't necessarily do what you want to do. You got to get it on the conveyor belt. So the Ben Ish Chai says, he personally says, Baruch Adonai le'olam, Amen v'amen. Now I'll tell you another trick. The truth is, you already say that pasuk in davening, so you're ready, you got two. You also say in Hoidu, Siddur? Besides Baruch Adonai Le'olam Amen, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Kvod Le'olam, Yimalech Kvod Le'etzkaros, Amen V'Amen. So that's four. Shacharis automatically has four, and it has a fifth. And how do? You say, Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael, Menor Elam, V'Yar Elam, V'Yimr Chol Ha'am, Amen V'Halal Hashem. So you already have five in Pesukei D'Zimra. Okay? So you don't have to do it 45 times. That's 85. You only have to do 42 and a half, okay? But and that's besides any of the amens you might daven, you might say besides that. But that's a practice of the Ben Ish Chai. And maybe we're suggesting that the reason why the word amen and the chumash appears in these contexts is because the amen has a tremendous shmira el yoyna. It creates an angel. And the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want to establish as reality these disastrous situations, so to offer protection to Klal Yisrael in the context of the Klalos, in the context of the episode of the Soita, is seared the protection of the great word Amen. Have a great night. And by the way, you know, when the Ramban says that the reason Hashem criticized Sarah, you should still have a great night, but listen to this, that the reason why Hashem criticized Sarah for laughing is Ramban says that when the angel told Avram that she's going to have a kid, so Sarah should have said, Amen! Amen. Actually, Rabbi Wein tells a story that he was once in the airport and Rabbi Leo Kitov was going on to the plane and the stewardess tells him, have a safe flight. Amen! You know, he belted out Amen because he said, what are you doing? He said, that Ramban says that when someone gives you a blessing, if you don't answer Amen, you're criticized. So she blessed me. I should have a safe flight. So I responded, Amen. So have a great night and V'imru. Okay, there you go.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.